The Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, The Truth About Us, go to BrantHanson.com.
Oh, we were talking about guilt a little bit ago, and pretty common. We all struggle with this, no doubt about it. Even if we don't want to acknowledge it, it's still there. Our consciences are that way.
Yeah.
So we'll act out of it, even not identifying that that's what's going on. Does that make sense?
It does.
Is guilt good or bad? It's depends. And a friend of mine told me this, shared it a couple times over the years on the show, but it's just so good. Like, it's good. Guilt is good if it drives you back to the cross.
Yeah.
So you can see what God has done for you and how loved you are. And realize, oh, that's why he did it.
And then leave it there.
And you leave it there. You can drop it. Mm-hmm. You don't need to carry that around anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't need to go anywhere else with it. It's not good if it becomes this thing that you pretend isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Or you carry it around the rest of your life because you didn't take it there. And you will.
Yeah.
One way or the other. You will. So yeah, is it good or bad? It depends on where you're taking it. It's hard to talk to people about Jesus in this culture. It's true. Talking about America.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why? I mean, the biggest reason? People think they know him.
Mm-hmm.
They really do. They think. Oh, they think. And that's when it's the hardest to learn anything or to be open-minded. But I already know about
it. A cousin said that to me one time. It drove me absolutely insane. He said something. I said, I know, which I really didn't. And he said, you know, it's so hard to tell someone who knows.
Bam.
Yes.
And people do. They get this cartoon version. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. That's what it is. Yeah. It's like just brushes the surface of... And they think, I got that.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. They actually don't. He's way better than that. It's hard to bring it every day as a shock jock. But
but you're trying. You put your effort out there.
Thank you.
Yes,
I'm trying
to
make this really blow up. And like shock jocking is a way
back in the day.
In the 90s. But also, so I shock people, but I keep it clean.
Sure.
Today, I have this for you.
Mm-hmm.
Sony.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they make their money, Sony?
How?
Insurance, however you say that.
Hmm.
They offer life, auto, and health insurance in Japan, and that's how they make their money. The electronics things is like a side thing. So, yeah.
Really?
Yep. I know. Thank you.
That actually,
all right, that was kind of shocking.
Yeah, it is.
All right. I was going to be honest. Uh-huh. I didn't think my material was great right now. I thought that was a miss.
I don't know how someone would bring that up,
but
shocked by it.
Look at this Walkman. Oh, what's...
Okay,
did you know that they sell...
Again, we're dabbling in the 90s.
I know. I can't get out of the 90s. A tip for loving people. Here we go. A tip. Mm-hmm. Pro tip. This is for real.
Mm-hmm.
Some people take everything so personally, and then they're mean as a result. Like, everything's...
And you walk on eggshells around them.
Yes, constantly. It's like, oh, you're offended by that now.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
All right, so that's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's because, I think for an awful lot of people, deep down, they have this self-dialogue that's really judgmental of themselves.
Guilt.
So you're coming up and you're touching that nerve because they're already feeling guilty or less than about something.
And you're adding a voice to it.
Yeah, you're confirming it, which triggers that reaction.
Got it.
Like if it's somebody like, that's crazy. Like, no, they're taking it all personally because that's going on. That helps me feel more compassion for them.
Yeah.
When I realize that. That's also true of our larger culture.
Good point.
Like if there's unresolved guilt.
And shame. Yeah.
Then everything becomes offensive. We have an awesome podcast sponsor, Fellowship Home Loans. They're fantastic to talk to if you're interested at all with refinancing or getting a mortgage. It's a great time to look into this. 800-804-SAVE. 800-804-SAVE. Or just go to fellowshiphomeloans.com. Time for a Hanson's Household Hint.
Mm-hmm.
Very helpful life hacks.
Sure.
This is true. Like, if you have like a can of 3 tennis balls.
Yes.
If you cut the balls in half, you can store twice as many in there. You can just stack like stack all the halves at the same direction. They kind of fit in each other.
Now the ball would no longer be usable for tennis. Is that correct?
You can store twice as many if you cut them in half.
That's your goal.
People struggle with guilt. That is a fact. It's not just religious people to everybody. deep down. Mm-hmm. So we walk around with it. And you can't absolve yourself of guilt. You can act like, oh, I'll just, but you can't, it's like throwing a surprise party for yourself. Mm-hmm. You really actually can't do that. It doesn't make sense. What you need is somebody outside of you who knows you, mm-hmm. who really, really knows you. And how often do people or anybody, mm-hmm. you need somebody outside of you who really knows you, who's on your side to say, I got this. Grace is such a wonderful thing. It's a tricky thing. It's an amazing thing, hence the song. But mm-hmm. it is tricky because you don't want it if you're proud. You just don't.
You don't think you need it, right?
Oh no! But yeah. Even if I had that one time, I used the car as an example because I accidentally put the wrong gas in a car. Same car, it was mm-hmm. diesel, and I kept putting regular in it. I trashed the engine twice. Mm-hmm. And the first time I did it, it was a great story because the Volkswagen people just paid for it. It was $7,000 damage.
Wow.
And they're like, hey, we got it this mm-hmm. time. I don't want to talk about it the second time, but I had a hard time taking that.
Oh.
I was like, I messed this up. Mm-hmm. It was tough for me to just, mm-hmm. I needed that. I didn't have $7,000.
Right.
And I needed that grace, but it was tough going.
I see, yeah.
I did this wrong thing. I want to atone for mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. You really have to be humble to accept it. Hey, if you struggle with something like a habit or something you just want to get out of your life or whatever, it's really hard to get rid of it if there's nothing replacing it. You can tell yourself, no, stop it. No, no more. Stop. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have anything replacing it, it's better.
Mm-hmm. Or that you love more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus even said that he was talking about spiritual stuff, but he's like, you can chase all the bad out, but if it's staying empty,
yeah,
it's just going to be worse.
Yep.
So catching a vision, you know, it's really awesome. I know people who struggle with things, but then the struggle just starts going away when they catch a vision for another kind of life.
Yeah.
And they fall in love with it. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got this, I'm driven by this thing, and it's much better. But that's the only way you can replace something is having a love that's bigger and better. Podcast friends, thanks. I just realized the people who didn't like it, they're not necessarily going to tell us.
That's true. Very true.
I'm going to say we get this tremendously positive reaction to our 14-minute grimace.
And riff. Yeah. But we could have lost 50 subscribers and we don't even know. Yeah.
People that was like, that was rubbish. That was just total rubbish.
Unspeakable foolishness.
Yeah. But we want to let you in. I didn't know we were recording for a while.
I know.
And then... But
that is truly how we goof off.
Yes.
And again, in that riff, we talk about the fact that I came in early because you had an appointment. And so we had to be done at a certain time.
Yeah. And we were still doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody thought it was funny. I'm going to find this. Somebody put it on my Facebook page. Mm-hmm. I love the stuff that people share on my Facebook page.
Sweet.
And it was a family of, I'm going to find this, a family of those flappy inflatable people that they use, you know, at a tire dealer or whatever. So you can see they're seated around a table. There's four of them. Have you seen this?
No.
Okay, there's four of them. And one of them says, Dad, you're not listening. I want to be a doctor. And he says, you will dance naked in front of car dealerships, and that's the end of this discussion.
I never even thought about it.
They're all different colors, like green, orange, blue, purple.
The flappy guy didn't have any clothes
exactly,
on.
So.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Yeah. I was so nervous after I listened to it the second time as I could just hear our mothers saying, all right.
We always had these filters, but like at some point, we were talking about this yesterday off the air. Like, mm-hmm. I'd like to start a new thing where you can just be as weird as you want.
Yeah, just goofy.
Maybe that's why you do. Like, it's difficult because we have this platform through mm-hmm. these stations. So mm-hmm. we're invited in.
Yes.
But people who are just tuning in, they came into that room for a different reason.
Yes.
It wasn't to hear, hey, I want to hear some stuff about grimace.
Yeah.
It was, I want some encouragement.
Yeah, and some inspiration, and they have an idea of what they're coming to.
Yeah, and we do want to provide that.
Yes, absolutely.
But we have to filter out stuff where we haven't been invited into that room. So we feel like the podcast, you're kind of opting in.
That's the beauty of the podcast. And for everything that has happened in our careers together, I am really grateful that we had a space before we, like, we left the network, and then there was a space, and then we picked back up with stations. Because mm-hmm. that gave us a space to be on your patio and do stuff. You know what I mean?
Totally.
We already had sort of kind of a rhythm for that kind of podcast feel. I'm really grateful for that.
You know, all the years working together, too, is awesome. Because just to underscore the many reasons it's great, but I am interested in the phenomenon of radio team shows. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed, like, there are networks like ESPN, for instance, just keeps trying to launch new shows where they take two or three or four talented people who haven't worked together before.
That is right.
And they just put them on, and it's like, oh, and then they have this, they try to come up with roles that they each play. Mm-hmm. Versus just buying a show, some show from a local where people already know each other, they've been working together for eight years.
Right.
Like, get that show.
Yes. Where they're already bought into each other, and the roles have already been developed because they have a relationship. And then you don't have to do that hard, heavy lifting.
Yes, and we don't have to listen to the choreography.
Yeah.
Of
and as you once
or
said,
tension.
Perceive the effort and despise us for. Don't perceive our effort and despise us for it.
Because we're all made for relationships, so we're all dialed into this. Like, it doesn't seem like they really like each other.
Yeah.
There's something there.
Yeah, people will pick up on it very, very quickly.
Like she said something, he didn't even hear what she said.
Yeah, yeah. And you can see when everyone, it's actually heartbreaking because you can see when everyone has their own agenda. You know what I mean? Of something that you wanted to say.
Right.
And that, so whatever the other person said just goes right past because you already had in your head how you want to say to portray yourself to the audience.
Right.
And tense.
If I was coaching their show, which they'll never have me do, but I would say I've learned the hard way, like the improv thing, the improvisational yes concept, where it's like you pay attention to what everybody else is doing in an improv set. I haven't even done this, but you've told me this.
Yeah.
Other people have done improv. Like you don't just have people brought up on stage with their own agendas.
Mm-hmm. Right. That is right.
You have to recognize what that person just did. Like suddenly we're pantomiming mowing the lawn or whatever. You can't just be like on a different thing. Like, I'm doing this.
And I'm giving myself to this thing. So when I took improv classes, it's like, this is the thing. It's not me coming to the thing.
Yeah.
It's the thing. And now I'm giving myself to that thing wherever it may take us.
Yes.
Yeah.
So for us, that means continually saying yes. So if Sherry says my joke thing wasn't funny, like 99% of the time I'm like, okay, it wasn't, and I find that way more interesting than the usual. Usually I'll have the opposite of the, somebody could, you know what? I'm just thinking, like, if you wanted to write a book, I'll throw this out for somebody to write a book, write a book about taking improv principles and applying them to daily life. Conversation, like how much better life goes, including the yes thing. Cause then, when someone says something, just presume they're right.
Yeah.
Instead of having your dander up or getting your defenses up, like, okay, they might have some, I can say I'm sorry more easily. I can go with this. It's way more fun.
It makes life really enjoyable.
Yeah, because there's less at risk.
Yes.
And there should be less at risk if you're somebody who's got a Jesus-centric view of life. Like, there should be more laughter and like, yeah, that's the way it is, but.
Well, you've been talking about that, and it's true that now in these days, for us to be the people with laughter and with joy, because it's just being drained out of every single thing.
Totally.
That would be compelling.
Yeah.
That these people, not sneering, not mocking, but just real joy. People are looking for that.
I listened to this 13-minute YouTube video. I normally don't, but I was trying to find jokes for the joke masterclass.
Yeah.
And someone put a link up to, like, here's some jokes from Norm MacDonald, you know, we talked about.
He's
passed on, and they put up a link. They're like, you got to listen to this. I recorded it at the show. I've never seen it. So they put it up on YouTube, and it's just somebody, like, bootleg recording it.
Yeah.
But he does, like, a 13-minute rollout about Red Delicious apples and why they named them that. It's so funny. But he starts it with saying, he's like, I'm just trying to live life in a way that I can know God.
Oh, wow.
He says, I'm a Christian. It's like, literally, that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
I'm a Christian. I know I'm messed up. I need grace for everything I do. I know that. But I am a Christian. I just want to tell you that. And it's going to be hard for people to synthesized because it is so, he uses such foul language too. So it's, it's like, what? But it was so funny. And he did this thing he was talking about. Sorry if you've seen that funny, but he was talking about like the Apple board getting together to talk about the different names. Like, well, you named yours the Macintosh Apple. Like, why didn't you? Oh, well. Because the old Hugh McIntosh, back when I was a kid, I remember him just even walk down the sidewalk. He was always looking down and always great. He said he collected more than $600 of coins just by always watching the ground. And I talked to him late in his life. He stretched this way out further.
Yeah, that's the beauty of him. That is the beauty of him.
I could swear he was making it up. He was going.
Yeah.
And Mr. McIntosh is like on his deathbed, you know, at this point, just saying, I wish I would have looked at the sky. I wish like, the firmament above, like just to take it in and see the sun and see the moon in the glory of the moon. he just keeps digressing, like keeps going. And then Hugh McIntosh, I remember he died like right there. And they say sometimes when you're there in that room, like you can tell something changed, but I couldn't. It seemed like it was just the same. And so I named the apple after Hugh McIntosh. And they turned to the Red Delicious people like, so you named it Red Delicious. Why did you do that? He uses some profanity. Like, why did you do that? Well, I mean, they're red and they're delicious. Yeah, did you notice that our apples are red too? And that people are going to think that
ours are not delicious. Yours are the only ones that are delicious.
You didn't think about that. You couldn't name him anything else. It's just like, we're the only delicious ones. he acts out them yelling at each other, like pissing each other out, then booting him off of the apple board. But the fact that he stretched it out for so long and did this digression.
That's one of my favorite things about him. And I was listening to an interview with him and Jerry Seinfeld, and Seinfeld said that was his favorite thing and that so many comedians just were in awe of him because he would get up and it's a half an hour bit and he literally did two jokes. On and on.
This digression about Hugh McIntosh. Yeah. I wish he would have looked at this guy.
And he has like, a little twinkle in his eye when he would deliver his material.
Right. Like, I can't believe you're putting up with this.
You're not going to get up and leave?
Right.
Okay. I'm going to keep going. There's something really respectable about that as far as comedy is concerned. Is
all out of one joke. All out of one joke. So that is, I don't know why we're talking about this. I'm sorry. But it was so funny to me.
Well,
anyway.
That's, yeah.
Whatever.
Bye, guys.
He also said, not everything has to make sense. Yeah. He said it again. Yep.
Not everything has to have a point.
Not everything has to have a point.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, The Truth About Us, go to BrantHanson.com.